You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you, we are presented by Progressive Insurance, Sirius XM, Channel 80, ESPNU, and the ESPN app. Some of the highlights there, some of the courtesies include ESPN Radio. Heard Steve Levy with the call on the Josh Allen domination by the Bills yesterday over the Raiders. Nice bounce back game for the Bills. All right, joining us now to talk more about all things football, NFL, college, etc., Herm Edwards, former NFL head coach, former NFL player, and ESPN NFL analyst joins us now. Herm, let's start with this. You coached in both college and the pros. Do you think that Deion Sanders could be an NFL head coach one day?
It would be fun to see if that would transpire. I think he'll have an opportunity. It'll be interesting to see after this season if he gets a phone call. It would be very interesting.
Herm, I'm going to stay in the state of Colorado. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, the Broncos blow a 21-3 lead. They lose to the Commanders 35-33. Last-minute two-point conversion didn't work out for them. Are you concerned about Russell Wilson and Sean Payton getting out to an 0-2 start? And if so, what does the future have in store for this head coach-quarterback combination?
Well, I think we've discussed it. When Sean Payton took over, his job, for the most part, was try to fix Russell Wilson. I thought at times, you know, Russell Wilson played fairly decent, but now that they sit there at, you know, 0-2, and the way he played yesterday, it was like, uh-oh. It'll be interesting to see Sean Payton, how much patience he has here with this offense, because he's a taskmaster. He likes it the way he likes it. I think Russell Wilson's kind of bought into what he's been asked to do. But here again, they're 0-2.
Coach, let's stick with another quarterback who hasn't had a good 2 weeks and needs to play better in Justin Fields. What's your evaluation of what you've seen out of Justin Fields, and how do the Bears get more consistency out of him?
Well, I think how he processes the information once he drops back, I think his clock at times is a little slow. Not getting rid of the ball. Offensive line, obviously, at times, you know, give him some problems. Getting the ball out quicker, I think, will help him. But at times, he just kind of looks like a guy that's trying to figure it out. It's just a little late, right? I think you guys mentioned it earlier. And it's something everyone's watching right now. And it's a shame because, you know, the guy has so much talent. But right now, it's just not. It's not showing itself. It shows itself at times, but it goes back to, okay, throw the ball. When you're watching the game, you're going, okay, now. And it's like, well, it's too late, right? And bad things happen when it's too late.
Talk with Herm Edwards, of course, ESPN NFL analyst here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Coach, what is harder to do, win 12 regular season games in a row like the Niners have, or lose 12 regular season games in a row like the Bears have?
Oh, boy. We're beating up the Bears today, huh?
Well, or crediting the Niners,
Let's credit the Niners. Enough with the Bears. I don't want the Chicago fans to get mad at me. But the Niners, I think this is the NFL, okay? And when you can go 12 straight the way they've done it. And remember, they were playing with Mr. Irrelevant when this thing started. And they have a fantastic football team. They really do. Coach Shanahan's done a marvelous job there. They play big-time defense, which travels. They run the ball. The quarterback doesn't make a lot of errors. And the defense, you know, can get after the quarterback. They're physical. They're a physical football team. You know, that travels. The shocking one for me was opening day when they went to Pittsburgh. and they beat Pittsburgh the way they beat Pittsburgh. That's generally – you don't see that. I mean, it just, I've been around football a long time. You don't go into Pittsburgh, especially against a Mike Tomlin team, or in the past, any coach that coached in Pittsburgh that had success like Tomlin and Bill Cowher, and we can keep going back. There's only been three coaches. And to beat them like that, it was like, whoa, this, I haven't seen this. This is interesting.
Coach, one of the other things we haven't seen in a really long time is a player as dynamic on the defensive side of the ball as Micah Parsons.
Oh boy,
I can't believe I'm saying this.
Oh, Coach, I'm not gonna take it where you think I'm gonna take it. Don't mention 56.
I'm not gonna do you like that. Okay. But what I am gonna say is I can't believe I'm saying this.
Yeah.
But through the first 2 weeks of the National Football League season, he, to me, is the most impressive player on the field. I mean, this guy's had 9 quarterback pressures, 3 sacks, has been directly involved with 3 turnovers over the first 2 games. I got to ask you, I mean, is he the best non-quarterback in all of football?
Oh, boy. I would agree. He wrecks the game. Look, and we've said it, we're kind of skirting around this, and I was with 56 here a couple months ago in a golf tournament, and I tell you what, boy, he still looks like he can play. But anyway, and I'm talking about Lawrence Taylor, by the way, for all those fans that are wondering who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Lawrence Taylor. Yeah, Parsons is wow. He's fun to watch. I mean, it's just they can't block him. And he's just getting better and better. I mean, he's nifty, he's nimble, he's fast. He can use power at times when he needs to. Yeah, he's the MVP. I mean, and we say that because we're defensive guys. But it really, I mean, it's like back in the day when my era, you know, and you're a defensive player. And you actually get up to watch the other defense play against your offense,
yeah,
right? I mean, it's kind of like that. It's like, really, what's he going to do, right? That's what we should say about 56. Where is he at? And you know, you sit there and you go, we can't block the guy. He's going to kill our quarterback.
Well, Coach, we know just how impressive Micah Parsons and that Cowboys defense has been. Dak and the offensive side of the ball getting things done as well. They're off to a great start. A couple teams off to great starts in the NFL, the Dolphins, the 49ers. But as you evaluate all teams through the first 2 weeks, who do you think is the most complete team in the NFL?
Ooh, good question. Probably the most complete team right now is the way they're playing, because they're playing through their defense, is the Dallas Cowboys. They've given up, 10 points in 2 weeks?
Mm.
They've scored 70 points. I mean, you know, I'm not a big math guy, but I can figure this out. If you score 70 and the other team only scores 10 in 2 games, that means you're only giving up 5 points a game. I mean, you win a lot of games doing that. They've been impressive. They really have. I mean, the first game of the season, you were like, oh, you went, wow. They went up and, you know, beat New York, and you go, okay. And they turn around this week, and it's like, okay. And look, and the Jets, obviously, look, we get it. But they have a good defense, too. This was going to be a defensive game, right? And then the Jets' defense played marvelous at times. But Dak found a way, and this offense found a way to move the ball. And the defense was just like, whoa. They've given up 10 points in 2 weeks. Who does that? This is a passing league. This is a league where, you know, quarterbacks thrive. I mean, where games are – them in San Francisco right now are – wow. They're playing really good defense.
Coach, I got to go back to your reaction to when Chris brought up the possibility of comparing somebody to Lawrence Taylor.
Oh.
Who else is on that list for you of guys that you refuse to comp? Like, you will not compare someone to Lawrence Taylor. Is Tom Brady, I assume, is on. Like, who else? Herm Edwards sits there and says, I will not even enter into a conversation comparing a player to this person.
Oh, Jim Brown. Jim Brown's the best football player I ever put it on now, in my opinion. I mean, that's just me. And I go way back. I get that. Prime is the best corner to ever play. Not even close. It's just not close. I mean, the way he played the position, I mean, it was, you know, if you throw it over there at him, the problem is
If he intercepts it, he's going to run for a touchdown too. So don't throw it over there. Just leave him alone. Just leave him alone. Don't even mess around. Right? Just because you're giving the other team 7 points because you can't tackle him once he gets the ball, right? I mean, there's been some dominant player. Chicago. I mean, think about the Chicago Bears, the linebackers they've had, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've had some pretty good linebackers up there now. So it there's eras of when players played that you look back at now and you go, wow, those guys are really good. And it's, you know, I don't like to pick guys out, you know, it's like this guy, that guy, but just some of the guys. Growing up, for me, it was, and I didn't play against Jim Brown, but if you think of it this way, he played in an era where the forward pass was like, okay, if you threw 5 passes in a game, that was a lot of passes back when he played. So basically, 11 guys were trying to tackle Jim Brown, and he had the ball, and he was 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage before he even got the ball. And no one can tackle a guy. I said, well, how does that work? How does he do that? And they couldn't. I mean, and the guy was a great athlete, great ambassador for the game. For the civil rights movement, all those things. I met Jim, and a gracious man. Yeah, he obviously, we know he's passed, but did a lot. But he was announced. I mean, he was. You didn't want to fool around with that guy.
our resident coach, ESPN NFL analyst Herm Edwards, joining Unsportsmanlike. And coach, it feels like it's getting late early out in LA for Chargers head coach Brandon Staley. A tough overtime loss after blowing a double-digit lead. Going back to the beginning of last season, they have the most losses after having a double-digit lead in games in the National Football League. My question to you is this. Did the Chargers make a mistake by staying with Brandon Staley this offseason rather than pivoting and going in a different direction at head coach?
Well, look, I've worn a lot of hats in this league, and I'm never going to say, you know, I do know this, and I'll say it this way. And it goes back to my era. The Chargers, they're puzzling. They've always been puzzling. Look, it was Winslow, you know, those guys. Fouts, I mean, Chuck Muncy, they had them, man. When you watch the Chargers and you – if you go there in person, or even you see them on television, but when you really go there in person and you watch them in the pregame warm-up, it's like, wow, they are a good-looking football team. It's like you look at them and you say, look at these guys. And they have the powder blue uniforms, and it's like, oh, the lightning bolt coming out of the side of their helmet. And you look at them, you go, how do they lose a game? And then they lose games. And you sit there and you go, they got great players on both sides of the ball. I mean, all-star guys on defense, big-time players on offense. That quarterback can hit any part of the grass on the field, whatever he wants. Those receivers look like basketball players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how do they keep losing? How does this work? They should be competing against the Kansas City Chiefs every year to win that division. But that hasn't been the case.
You know what's funny? I said the same kind of thing earlier, and I traced it back to the Phillip Rivers era.
Cool.
Coach just went even further. There's something wrong with this. So no. From Fouts no. to Rivers, they lose close games. So now I don't know what the connector is. Maybe it's the uniforms. Maybe you just nailed it, Coach.
Oh, the most beautiful uniforms. I mean, it's just they're pretty now.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They, when you watch them, they come out, you go, my word. Like, you start looking at your team and say, well, we don't look like that. You know, that's what coaches always do. So you guys know, and, you know, coaches always, when you walk in the pregame, you know, you always look at the other team and you go, and then you tell your GM, why can't we get guys looking like this over here, right?
Maybe they're too pretty. Yeah, that's what it is.
And then the GM comes out. Yeah, and the GM comes back to you and say, yeah, they're pretty, but they can't play. Like, okay.
Too bad they don't get style points.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, we finally figured out 40 years of frustration for the Chargers. They look too pretty. Coach, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. You guys are doing a great job.
All right. There is Herm Edwards, of course, former NFL head coach and ESPN NFL analyst. Speaking of former NFL head coaches, we'll have yours tomorrow. Tom Coughlin will join us here on the show in the 7 a.m.
Can't wait to have TC on Eastern there. I mean, it's going to be soon that we're going to call Brandon Staley, former NFL coach, right?
Ooh.
I'm just putting that out.
You're going to say that to him when he's in Herm's spot with Herm sitting next to him as an ESPN NFL analyst?
I've been calling for your downfall for the last 2 years.
He's actually going to be the analyst.
One of these days I'm going to be right. One of these days I'm going to be right.
Coming up next, are the Dolphins the most complete team in the NFL? Is that possible? We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Nothing like a little Trick Daddy in the morning.
That's right. Coffee and Trick Daddy. No better way to start your week.
Yeah. Little Trick Daddy.
Okay. Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, SiriusXM 80, ESPNU, ESPN app, and all of our great stations across the country. Yes, we will get to whether or not the Dolphins are the most complete team in the NFL, and if maybe they're the best team right now in the NFL or the AFC. But did you happen to see at halftime of their win last night over the New England Patriots? Okay? So at halftime, Mike McDaniel, their head coach, is being interviewed by Melissa Stark, who's a phenomenal reporter, on NBC, and then the cameras are following him, and then he sprints so they can't actually keep up with him, right? So now all I'm thinking about is who wins the NFL head coaching races? So if we had races, like who in a race, Andy Reid or Mike McCarthy, who wins in a race?
McCarthy.
I think
McCarthy?
The watch?
The watch
that you're using to time them?
Who are you going to put your money on, though, if you have to pick one coach? Maybe Mike Vrabel?
Vrabel?
He's so athletic.
Yeah, Vrabel would probably
see, this
be
is
up
why Deion can't be an NFL head coach.
Yeah, he'd easily win.
Oh, no, actually, Deion can't run. No, I don't even think he can run.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, you might want to walk that one back a little bit. Listen,
Mike McDaniel was faster than
the shots.
What? I didn't hear you. Mike McDaniel was faster than I thought. Right? Mike McDaniel was fast.
Oh, compared to somebody with a huge camera on their shoulder.
John Harbaugh would be in that conversation.
No.
John Harbaugh's in great
Tomlin
shape.
Played, not in the NFL, but he played. I mean, you have to think about the guys that played. The fastest and slowest NFL coach. Pete Carroll, sneaky fast for the
he's
oldest
out.
Coach in
he's
the league.
He's working out all the time. Yeah. Yeah. What about Robert Saleh? He looks like he might have some
he's
wheels on.
He's got the stadium right. steps.
I could see him having some wheels.
I could see that.
Tweet at On Sports ESPN, at Evco Radio, at Chris Canty 99, at M. Smallman. The fastest and slowest NFL head coaches in terms of running.
Well, right? I would put Belichick in the slowest.
Nobody runs away from everybody all the time.
That's
so he's,
true.
And he's always on the treadmill, they say, in the mornings.
But I just imagine him not caring.
Not caring about, just like walking.
Winning the race?
Yeah. Not that he's not hyper-competitive, he's like one of the most hyper-competitive people the league has ever seen. But I just see him be like, this is stupid. We're on to the next one. I'm not running.
Are we forgetting anyone in terms of fast or slow NFL head coaches in terms of running a race? Because Mike McDaniel proved that he is fast. He is really fast.
Sneaky fast.
Sneaky fast.
Didn't
running
expect
off the field yesterday. What about Arthur Smith? Good coach with the Falcons. I can't imagine him to be very fast.
No, I disqualify him off the mustache.
Mustache?
Yeah, he's got a
what, it weighs him down?
So guys who have a mustache can't also be fast?
Probably.
Probably.
Like how swimmers have to shave?
Theory. It's fluid, though.
What about Sean McVay?
Maybe.
Sean McVay, maybe.
He may be fast. I could see right? that. It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's definitely possible.
How about D'Amico Ryans down with the Texans?
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Good one.
He looks like he's in playing shape.
Yeah, he looks like he can go out there.
You guys, what about Dan Campbell with the Lions?
Dan Campbell, yeah. Dan was never the most fleet of foot.
But he's drinking like 17 shots of espresso a day.
Yeah.
Do you know that Dan Campbell and the Lions, in his time in the NFL, they've only won two games in September and October under Dan Campbell. Can we stop making him out to be Vince Lombardi, please? I mean, can we pipe down a little bit with Dan Campbell?
No, I'm not going to pipe down.
Pipe down.
I'm rooting for my former teammate. That's what are you talking about? Right.
He's won two games in September and October.
Can I ask you a question? I know I hate answering questions with questions, but why, when the Seahawks and the Lions get together, does it always turn into a track meet? Like, I mean, yesterday.
Because of fast coaches. Pete Carroll and Dan Campbell. I guess
that's what it is. Because 68 points they combined for yesterday. Last year they combined for 93 points. The year before that, it ends up being 80 points.
What's up with that?
They score a bunch of points. Like, it is defense optional when the Lions and the Seahawks get together. And the Seahawks always win the damn game. Always. Without fail.
Some tweets on this. At Unsports ESPN, at Evco Radio, Arthur tweets, Brian Daboll has got to be the slowest.
Brian Daboll?
Brian Daboll does not look fast.
I don't know
he
if he's
would not
the slowest,
sprint
though.
Off slowest, like though? That.
He's got short legs, so yeah, that'd probably work against
slowest?
Him.
Chad tweets, at Evco Radio, Mike Tomlin probably sneaky fast.
Okay.
I think we'd expect Mike Tomlin to be fast, right? Because he played college football. Yeah. Sean McDermott, sneaky fast as well.
I could see that, Sean McDermott.
Mike McDaniel, we could tweet out
where
the
are we
video.
At with Ron Rivera? I know he's a little bit
slow.
Older.
He's I think slow. He's slower.
You think he's slower?
Played linebacker, right?
Yeah, for the 85 Bears.
Like, I would say he'd be a tier three speed coach.
Tier three speed coach.
He's not a tier four guy. Yeah.
What about Nick Sirianni from the Eagles?
Ooh, that's
he's
a good
younger one. Coach. Yeah.
I would put him like at the bottom half of tier two.
Yeah. What about Jonathan Gannon? Shroom, shroom.
How much would you pay to watch Andy Reid run a 40?
I would love to watch it. Now, I think his time would be contingent on whether or not you have a cheeseburger at the end of that 40
yards. That's right.
Because I think he'd actually be faster.
You need a carrot.
He'd be faster
what
with
do
the
you
motivation.
Think, like, okay, so average NFL player, what's their 40 time?
I'm going to say the average NFL 40 is somewhere around 4.8.
Okay, and what's average everyday person?
Oh, 5.6, 5.7.
What's Nuno?
What would be?
Damn, Nuno. Just catching a stray in this one.
What like would, a 6.4?
I would say Nuno. I would say Nuno is faster than Brian Daboll.
You think Nuno is faster than Brian Daboll?
I think Nuno could outrun Brian Daboll. Yes. I think that's a real thing. Yeah.
But Andy Reid would have what time doing a – everybody right now in your car. And this is, I'm not making fun of him because he's the best. Well, I am making fun of him, but I'm saying we all have something. I'm 100% making fun of him.
Totally.
He's one of the greatest head coaches of all time. But Mike McDaniel, head coach of the Dolphins last night, with this unbelievable win against New England, and everybody's saying how great they are, and they are, sprints off the field, running away from the cameras, knowing what
he was
doing, that just now takes us to this place of coaches in a sprint. Picture Andy Reid running a 40. We had Andy Reid at the punt, pass, and kick from 100 years ago.
Yeah.
One of the funniest things you'll ever
see
in your
life. I'm still not sure he qualified based on the age requirements either. Like, I feel like he was absolutely a couple of years older than the other kids competing.
Yeah.
Who would win in a 40-yard dash between the three of us? Smalls?
CeCe. He won a Super Bowl. He's a professional athlete.
I would win in a 40-yard
Think
dash.
About the stride that he has.
If it's longer than 40 yards, I ain't going to make it. But at 40 yards, I got you.
Yeah, I got you guys in half marathons. Yeah.
I could beat you in a 40-yard
dash.
No,
you can't. No, you can't.
Okay, so we're going to do this.
Can't. No, you can't.
And I will.
And no, we're not, because I'm not going to tear a hamstring trying to beat Evan in a 40-yard.
We have to do it though, running away from a camera. Mike McDaniel, there has to be someone filming us, and then we run away from.
CeCe, you might not even have to go 100%. Is what I'm saying.
What is that, Smalls? You've seen me run.
You're fast. He's taller than you. He's got a longer stride. He's going to beat you. He was a professional athlete, Evan. You might be able to get to an 11 speed on a treadmill. This is a man that won a Super Bowl.
Why are you looking at
He's
me like that?
I'm just laughing.
You're letting Smalls do your work.
No, because you feel like you're one of those guys that thinks you can go out there in the NFL. And
no,
can,
I don't.
No, you know what he is?
No, I don't.
You feel like you're one of those guys that can go out there and give you some snaps?
Give me.
I could have caught that pass.
Give me 50
pass.
Pitches. I could hit
100 mile an hour.
No.
Give me 50.
I don't actually believe that. I just believe
you just said you can believe you could outrun a former
professional.
Yeah, I'm not a Super Bowl champion.
Okay.
I'm not wearing equipment.
And neither am I.
Good point. But I think that I could beat you in a 40-yard dash.
Okay. All right.
We both walk in at the same time every morning. I slip when I walk in and CeCe is with an umbrella, all good to go. Oh, by the way, just very quickly, Dolphins, most complete team in the AFC, that's what you're saying?
Yeah, most complete team in the AFC. To me, the thing that's going to be the differentiator in terms of how far they can go is how good they're going to be on the defensive side of the ball. If Tua can stay healthy, it's the most explosive offense in the NFL, which understood ain't got to be said. But the ceiling on this team is going to be decided by their defense. Now, yesterday, their defense showed that they can make game-changing plays. The Bradley Chubb strip as the Patriots were working the ball in the plus territory, that was a huge play on Pop Douglas. And then you're talking about Xavier Howard being able to get the touchdown, being able to take away points from the Patriots with a red zone interception. Those are big-time plays. And yes, Mike McDaniel's got that sneaky fast, sneaky fast stride right there.
Okay,
but no,
we
but
have
no.
it on ESPNU, but it's you great. Can see him it's running great. Away because he's great. Looking back. It's like, great. I know what I'm about to do right
it's
now.
Great. It's great. And he's a former football player, right? He played at Yale, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Can I throw one more guy in the mix? We always overlook the Minnesota Vikings. Kevin O'Connell?
Quarterback. Wait, I was a quarterback.
Kevin O'Connell, Matt LaFleur from the Packers.
Oh, Matt LaFleur, another good one.
Great hair and eyebrows, Matt LaFleur.
Perfectly coiffed.
Yeah, very good. Very good with the coif. Our game of the weekend was not the game of the weekend. We will discuss that coming up and why.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance.
There you go.
Sirius XM80, ESPNU, the ESPN app, and all of our great stations across the country. You know, going into the game this weekend, Kansas City and Jacksonville, we said clear-cut number one game on the schedule. I did not think it was going to come out of that game as the number one game on the schedule, and it did not. 17-9, that Kansas City wins over Jacksonville. There were a few interesting storylines. First of all, going into the game, Brittany Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes' wife, and normally I don't like to dive into the family stuff unless they put themselves out there. She put herself out there in a great way because she told us that Patrick Mahomes, before he goes to sleep every night, eats Doritos in bed. she literally put
He's
it out
like
there.
Us. He is like
he
us.
He eats crumbs Doritos in bed, yeah. Which I don't know. You shouldn't do that, right?
Why?
No, eat Doritos. Just don't eat it in bed.
What's wrong? I mean,
are you snacking in bed, CC?
Snacking in bed?
No, I'm not a snack in bed guy, but I'm not above it. I'm not above it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Kind of above
Sometimes
it.
It's a comfort food. I mean, it's a very stressful job her husband has, and he needs to have something to relax. And if it's Doritos in bed, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, you're only snacking in a bed in my world if you're in a hotel.
Yeah, because it's not yours.
Because then someone's cleaning it up the next day.
Oh, so you just don't care about others. Got it, Smalls. Okay.
Well, there might be somebody that cleans it up the next day for Pat Mahomes, too.
Amazing point.
Oh, you think Patrick Mahomes has help around his house? I'm shocked by that.
No, I don't even think they call it a house. Based on what we saw, the aerial shots, it's a compound.
Compound, yeah.
The estate of Pat Mahomes.
Right.
Yeah. It has its own zip code.
Iron Eagle, CBS, got to give him a shout out. The Travis Kelce touchdown, he said, in a blank space, which
Pretty
is the
good.
Name of a Taylor Swift song.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Travis Kelce punted the ball into the crowd at one point after scoring a touchdown. Mm-hmm. But this was an ugly game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's two decisions by Doug Peterson that I didn't really get, the head coach of the Jaguars. He went for it fourth and goal from the 16, 4:23 to go, down 17-9, kicked a field goal, hold him back, get the ball back. And then in the second quarter, I know that, you know, you're not thinking about it at 3-0, but looking back on it, you know, you're up 3-0 in the second quarter. You have fourth and five at the Kansas City 45-yard line. Punt it. Pin him back. He went for it, and they didn't convert. I thought Doug Peterson, who we know is risky, you know, the Philly special, the whole deal, I thought he had a kind of a crappy game for him.
Well, the most head-scratching part about the fourth and five on the plus 45 in the second quarter was that not only did you not get it, but you gifted the Kansas City Chiefs offense a short field, and that's how they got their first points. You allowed Pat Mahomes and them to get going off of a short field based on a turnover on downs, and those are the kind of mistakes as a coach that you can't make when it comes to game management and trying to best Patrick Mahomes. And yeah. Let's be clear about one thing. This was the litmus test for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Absolutely.
This was them measuring themselves against what has been the class of the AFC for the last 5 years, and they failed that test. And Trevor Lawrence failed when it comes to being an elite quarterback. You can't go 0-for-3 in the red zone as an offense and have your quarterback be 0-for-7 on pass attempts in the red zone. Now, Calvin Ridley had a drop there in that red zone possession at the end of the fourth quarter, but yet and still – Trevor Lawrence has to find a way to be better if we're going to consider him amongst the elite quarterbacks. We said coming into this year that he's a top 5 to 7 quarterback in the NFL. Well, he damn sure didn't look like it yesterday, and he deserves a lot of the blame. Maybe not all of the blame, but a lot of the blame for how things went down yesterday in Duval.
Absolutely. We talked about him maybe being in the MVP conversation. Yeah. You have him as your MVP, correct. Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
But he said as much after the game, CC. He took ownership of this. He said we had our shot here at home. We laid an egg offensively. They talked a lot about how this was a game that they wanted against the Chiefs because of the playoffs last year. And then to not capitalize on those turnovers. They didn't capitalize on 2 of the 3. You mentioned the 0-for-7 passing in the red zone, CC. I just expected much more out of the Jaguars in this game, especially on offense.
Yeah, I mean,
the reason why they couldn't give you more is also Chris Jones out there, too.
He didn't even miss a second.
He was a game wrecker. He had 5 pressures in the game yesterday, the Kansas City Chiefs. 3 sacks on the 5 pressures that Chris Jones had, including Jones himself having a sack and a half. So that was a factor in that as well.
And I like that Ian Eagle on CBS pointed out one other thing about Chris Jones, which we can all relate to. A humble brag, okay?
Okay.
How expensive the food was in the suite. Because remember, he was week one, he went to
the suite.
That's
right.
And he came out afterwards like, I can't believe how much money it costs. Well, that's how they pay you, Chris. That's how you make the money when they're charging all the money they charge in those suites. The other thing, give Mahomes credit on that 3rd and 6, I believe. The Sky Moore pass that he had to clinch the game yesterday.
And he was scrambling around. He was under the rest in that play. I think Josh Allen was the one that was after him and found a way to escape to the right side of the formation and then throw that ball out there. Sky Moore was wide open. I don't know how the Jags defense lost track of him, but I think that's the part that makes Pat Mahomes special. I mean, he had a couple of scrambles in there where he was able to take off late and convert them for first down. So it's hard to have the right defense when it comes to Mahomes. If you blitz him, he's surgical, but if you sit back and try to play coverage, he is going to find a way to extend the down and make the play, whether it's with his arms or with his legs. He's still that dude. It's just a question of what's around Pat Mahomes and how quickly those young receivers can develop. I think that's going to determine how far the Chiefs go this year.
And here's the thing. If you're unfamiliar with Sky Moore, who was a second-round pick in 2022 out of Western Michigan, 5'10", 195 pounds, very fast receiver. Think about it this way. When the Pittsburgh Steelers under Bill Cowher and then Mike Tomlin were rolling, they went from Hines Ward and Plaxico Burress to Emmanuel Sanders and Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown, and the list just they just churn, right?
Yep.
Obviously, New England has done the same thing with Troy Brown and Edelman. And, well, here's what happens, guys. If you're a big-time receiver on Kansas City, you're going to be successful. Someone else is going to pay you. They're going to let you walk, and they're going to continue to churn. Sky Moore may be next up. Kadarius Toney had a shot, and then he's more obsessed with the Giants, I guess, than he is with his current team. But this is what happens. When you have a great quarterback like they do, Hall of Fame quarterback, and a great head coach, they never are going to have to pay the wide receivers because Mahomes just going to make everybody great.
No, but let's be clear about one thing. Those wide receivers are going to have to step up and be a lot better than what we've saw in the first couple of weeks. I mean, yesterday, Pat Mahomes averaged 3 air yards per attempt. 3 air yards. That's a full 2 air yards shorter than he has on his career average. They've got to be better, and I know it's a chemistry thing and getting on the same page. Not a lot of reps in the preseason for these groups, and so they use the first couple of games during the regular season as an extension of that. But those receivers have to come around. They can't just put it all on Travis Kelce to provide that threat in the vertical passing game. Those receivers have got to come around and start making plays for Mahomes.
And speaking of Travis Kelce, I know they connected for a score, but it felt yesterday like he was still kind of finding his rhythm and working his way back. Chris Jones might not have looked like he missed a second of playing time, but I just feel like we'll see Travis Kelce be better as we move forward as well.
Random also, other note from another game, speaking of wide receivers, Puka Nacua.
L.A. Rams,
let's go. The greatest wide receiver stats through two games in NFL history. He's the greatest wide receiver ever. It's basically, through two games, there's never been a receiver better than this guy, their draft pick out of BYU. Coming up next, all the
small things
on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, and Michelle Smallman.
Unsportsmanlike.
Who would win in a 40-yard dash between the three of us? Small?
CeCe. He won a Super Bowl. He's a professional athlete.
I would win in a 40-yard.
Think about the stride that he has.
If it's longer than 40 yards, I ain't going to make it. But at 40 yards, I got you.
Yeah, I got you guys in half marathons. Yeah.
But I can beat you in a 40-yard dash.
No, you can't.
Okay, so we're going to do this.
No, you can't.
And I will.
And no, we're not, because I'm not going to tear a hamstring trying to beat Evan.
It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPNU, ESPN app. CeCe's already trying to back out of the 40-yard dash.
First of all, I didn't commit to doing a 40-yard dash. I just said I would beat you. I'm not trying to hurt myself out here racing you at a 40.
Hurt your ego if Evan beats you?
No, I'm not even about hurting my ego. I mean, why risk my physical well-being for somebody that's not even competition for me?
So then you could go out there and do it 50%. Like, You'd be good.
Why would I go out there and do that?
Your hammies are safe.
It's the same reason I won't play football against him. I can't play against him. I mean, it's not like it's playing against Tucker Strahan. I'm not going to waste my time with that.
There you go.
By the way, so we asked the question about the fastest and slowest head coach in the league.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Goldhammer, ESPN Cleveland, really big show, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time on 850 WKNR, is now making claims, and he joins us. And, of course, you can hear him all over ESPN Radio. What are you claiming now, Aaron?
I'm saying Belichick would win. He'd cheat, but he'd win, Evan.
Yeah, okay, so why do you got to do that? So you're sitting there, and you're all pumped up about Kevin Stefanski. You don't want Belichick still the head coach of the Browns? Or do we want to talk about your hometown team in the Broncos, who now I have to turn against, and they're 0-2, and you know I've been supporting them, Aaron?
Especially when he's running this at 0-2, you know that he's sneaking in a cab and driving the 40 yards, and then he's going to end up first at the finish line. They're going to hand him the trophy, and they'll just dock him a draft pick later.
Yeah, you're jealous.
You
are jealous of this. The fact that you would say that that Belichick is going to cheat. By the way, that is amazing. All those people in marathons who then you learn later, like, take a cab.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They actually take a cab. Aaron and I both have a friend that'll go nameless that once actually got lost running a marathon.
Really?
Yes.
How's that possible?
I still don't know. There's signage everywhere.
Literally signage everywhere.
There are other people in the marathon, so all you really have to do is follow the crowd, right?
Yeah, I don't get it. I'm going to ignore your cheating take, Aaron. Give us a quick take tonight, Browns and Steelers. Are you guys feeling good on the road at Pittsburgh here?
You know, it's funny. All week, everybody in Cleveland's super confident, chest puffed out. You know, the Browns haven't won a regular season game in Pittsburgh in 20 years. And this morning, all the Browns fans I'm working with, you know, Riz on the really big show with me, our whole team at ESPN Cleveland, everybody's like, we're nervous. I've been on the Steelers all week. I'm not going to believe the Browns can win here. I don't believe it's physically possible until I actually see them do it.
Physically possible.
Aaron, it's more of a mental blockage on your point rather than what you think the talent of the team is right now.
Yeah, I think the Browns are the more talented team, but it's 20 years of history. Also, there's an amazing stat that I'm sure they'll use on ABC on the broadcast tonight. The Steelers are 20-0 in their last 20 Monday night home games. So, like, there's so much history going against the idea that the Browns can win.
Are you trying to produce Monday Night Football? Like, if they don't use that stat, is that going to be a problem for you, Aaron?
I'm just, look, I'm calling out Seth Markman and the whole production team in the truck.
Brilliant move by you.
So, Aaron, I got to ask you this question. I mean, looking at what we saw from that defense in week one, is that going to be what we consider the outlier, or is that just who that side of the ball is going to be this upcoming season?
I don't know about, like, Watson and their ability to score points, but I do think, Chris, that their defense is really good. I think their front is really good, and I think Jim Schwartz is the first Browns competent defensive coordinator that they've had probably since 1999. So, assuming they keep everybody healthy, I think they'll be able to get to the quarterback all year long.
We should have hung up on you after the accusation of Belichick cheating. Goodbye. See you later. There he is, Aaron Goldhammer, ESPN Cleveland. Time now for All the Small Things.
All the small things, small things.
All the small things.
All the small things with Michelle Smallman.
So, bing bong, indeed. What a fun little open that was, you guys. All right, well, let's start with college football. We've talked a lot about Coach Prime and Colorado's big win, as we should today. But how about Alabama? Even though they had a victory over USF, 17-3, barely beating USF, number 13 Alabama. That's right, number 13 Alabama. They're out of the top 10 AP college football poll for the first time in 8 years. So, temperature check from you guys. Where are you at on Alabama? They have some questions at quarterback. They just don't look like a typical.
Some questions. They got all the questions at quarterback.
They don't look like a
typical.
They
can still
Alabama
run the football.
Team.
They can still play defense, but they got three quarterbacks. And when you got three quarterbacks, you got no quarterback. Jalen Milroe didn't play. He was their starter to open the season. They had Ty Simpson and Tyler Buckner, and both of those guys proved that they are not the answer. So, where the hell is Nick Saban go at quarterback? Don't know, but it's going to be tough sledding in the SEC if you ain't got one.
I'm being serious when I ask this question. Can you have in-season transfers?
I don't know the answer to that.
With all the rules up in the air, if you go acquire someone.
If you could, you know Nick Saban is on the phone now.
Go make a trade. That's actually a big thing, not a small thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, next. You touched on this, CeCe, but this was something that I had told the guys before the show I wanted to talk about. Micah Parsons. He has been absolutely unbelievable through 2 weeks. He led the team yesterday, the Dallas Cowboys, game high 7 pressures, 2 sacks. It's his 10th career game with at least 2 full sacks, which is tied for the 3rd most by any player before his 25th birthday. Defensive player of the year, Micah Parsons to lose. Are we talking Micah Parsons in the MVP conversation? He's absolutely dominant through 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you could drop the best defensive player in the NFL and just say the best player in the NFL through the first 2 weeks. That's how good he's been. I mean, the guy is absolutely dominant. I'm running out of adjectives to describe how good Micah Parsons is. All you need to know is, like Herm Edwards said, this dude wrecks the game. He's been a part of forcing 3 turnovers, including just ripping the ball from Dalvin Cook on a routine run play. The guy puts quarterbacks under the rest, forces them into making mistakes. And when you double-team him, it creates opportunities for all of those other pass rushers that the Cowboys have. So, yeah, Micah Parsons, best player in the NFL through the first 2 weeks of the regular season.
Defensive player of the year, yes, absolutely not in terms of MVP. Why? Because a top 10, 15 quarterback is always more valuable than any other position in the sport. Sorry, defensive lineman over here. Smalls.
Okay, last thing, guys. So we were kind of questioning Geno Smith after a rough loss to the LA Rams to open 30-13 home loss to the LA Rams. Shocking to open the season. But Geno Smith bouncing back for the Seahawks. 37-31 overtime win over the Lions. He went 32-41 passing, 328 yards, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. Are we back on Geno Smith?
Yeah, we're back on the Geno Smith bandwagon. Impressive win for the Seattle Seahawks on the road, although they always beat the Detroit Lions. But just his ability to be able to spray the ball around. DK Metcalf banged up. Doesn't matter. He's going to find Tyler Lockett. It was the Tyler Lockett show yesterday. He found Noah Fant on that nice wheel route right there. He was seeing the field really well. And I think you got to give credit where credit is due. But it's also a little bit alarming given how bad that Lions defense was yesterday.
It's a weird game. Seattle was up 31-21, blew the lead, then regained the lead to win the game, yeah. Right? And the story of that game was also the referee with Geno saying, I'm trying to talk to America here.
That's right.
And pushing Geno out of the way. So an up and down game within the same game for Seattle yesterday, but they do get the win. Detroit obviously 1-1 now on the season. Could the Jets find their next quarterback in their own locker room. We will get to that coming up next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.